What's going on? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath. I collect sports cards. I have a podcast about collecting sports cards. Hopefully you're all off to a really good start in your week, winning cards, battling in the trenches, getting rid of cards for all-time highs so that you can take those funds and put it into a bigger card, enjoying your collection, doing everything you can to have the hobby experience of your dreams. That's what we're trying to do, man. And you're here, and I appreciate it. Spending a little bit of time with Stacking Slabs, and we're running freaking hard. A lot on my mind. Talking auctions. I want to talk about a question that I had that popped up in the Patreon group. I want to start here, though. I think it would be in the best interest of myself, sport fandom, connection, which drives our collecting, to talk about something that I think I've been experiencing for the last few months that has culminated, maybe not culminated, maybe there's still some momentum. And it was the topic that flooded everybody's feed, news.com, everywhere, just everywhere you turned, there was a story about it. And I want to start here and make sure that I acknowledge and recognize the newest member of the Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark. I want to tell you this. I sent a text to my family this past week letting them know that in my lifetime as a sports fan, I don't think I've ever seen anything from a sports media perspective as transformational as Caitlin Clark. It is undeniable that everybody's feeds were flooded this past week. And let's just say this. If you've got a problem with the exposure that Caitlin Clark is getting and giving to women's basketball, then it's likely your problem, okay? I think this is, it is still so early, and I'm still trying to grasp my head around what this means and the impact that it has, but I can tell you, I've never seen anything like it. And maybe it's because I have a bird's eye view living literally a mile away from where Caitlin Clark will be draining logo threes in her opponent's face. Maybe I'm too close to the situation. I don't know. Let me tell you about this. So every day I take my daughters to school and I drive down Pennsylvania. We go south down Penn. And I look over to the left and I see Gainbridge Fieldhouse, the home of the Indiana Pacers and the Indiana Fever. And I tell my toddler, Jolene, hey, that's where the Pacers and Fever play. Hey, that's where the Pacers and Fever play. And now when we drive by, that's always what Jolene wants to talk about. This past week, as we were approaching Gainbridge Fieldhouse, I looked into Gainbridge Fieldhouse and I could see the monitors on the side and it just said, welcome Caitlin Clark. You could see the preparation for the presser that was going down. And I, mental note, I was like 10 o'clock. I got to see that. And then driving back up Delaware, you see the other side of Gainbridge that I see every day when I'm driving home from dropping my daughters off. And they had changed the graphic that presents itself, which is a tunnel from the facility where you practice to the arena, and Caitlin Clark was front and center. I have been captivated. I am in another world thinking about what this means, but I can't stop thinking about the fact that this athlete is coming into my city to do her thing at a time when I have two daughters that are going to be raised on seeing how big of a sports degenerate their dad is. And instead of just saying, hey, here's the Pacers, here's the Colts, we can talk about women's basketball. And not only talk about women's basketball, we can talk about one of the most transformational athletes in their dad's lifetime, and that athlete is a female. And I think that is super freaking powerful. And I know this podcast is about collecting sports cards, but it's about sports. It's about connection. It's about affinity. It's about all those things we feel. And I'm telling you right now, I feel something really strongly about what's about to go down in my city because of one individual. I watched every second of Iowa women's basketball the moment Caitlin Clark declared for the WNBA draft because I knew she was coming here. Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament, the last of the regular season games. I watched every second of the WNBA draft, even after Caitlin Clark got drafted. I'm planning already to see Caitlin Clark play one of her first games. Caitlin Clark is doing something that very few have ever done. She's capturing the hearts and minds of sports fans, and she's continuing to push the momentum forward. It is really exciting. I think about what she's doing for women's basketball. I can't help but think about what she's going to be doing for women's basketball cards. She's moving into this city. She's going to be integrated in this community starting in a month. We've had Reggie Miller, Peyton Manning, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Richardson. I am not sure I can ever remember seeing anything like it. And let me tell you, that's saying something. Caitlin Clark, I can't wait to watch you play basketball, magician passes, threes from the logo. I'm so thrilled. And man, let's just get this show on the road. So what I want to talk about in this conversation here on the Stacking Slabs podcast, your hobby content alternative, the flagship of this damn series, of this damn platform, is a question is, how do you think the collecting space has evolved since you've been back in the hobby? I got some really good responses from the Patreon group about this topic, and I want to share those with you today. Also, I want to share my own perspective with you today about this. I want to shout out the flood of new members that joined the group this week. Really appreciate it. Putting in the work, doing the content. If you want to support this platform and what I'm doing, join the damn Patreon group at any level that you want to and tell your damn friends about it. I'm doing this new series on there every week where I literally am going back into my archive on Instagram and looking at every post, card post that I liked, and I'm picking 10 of them and then doing a podcast about 10 people's cards in their collection. And it's really fun. It's really fun because one, I feel like the algorithms are screwing up all the cards in our feed, seeing way less. And so it gives me the time to reflect. And then it gives me time to talk about cards, products, and elevate those collectors who I'm enjoying their cards. So doing that every week, that's just one thing along with so much more. I want to shout out, I put this in the weekly rip, but we're giving them placement here just because I love his collection and his page. Lingua Sports Cards, Brian. Shout out to Brian. I want to say I am not sure there is another collector with just as fun of a Super Fractor collection as he does. I know a lot of you follow him, but if you're not, follow Brian if you want to see an incredible collection. Always enjoy it. And sometimes I've had to sell cards in order to get other cards I want. And Brian has a couple of those. And when I found out that those cards were going to him, it made me really pumped because I knew they were going into a collection, going to a collector who appreciates cards a lot. This week, during the collector conversation, I'm talking with my man, James. Mad City Collector, unlocking a first-time character here on the pod. His thoughts are incredible just regarding the hobby, how he thinks about things. I've had so many good interactions with him. One of the primary topics that I think we're going to be diving into is just set collecting, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So you're not going to want to miss that. The other thing that I want to mention is we alluded to this during Chris and Josh's conversation on Friday. If you haven't listened to that and you want to learn more about the playoffs, basketball cards, go check it out. But there needs to be a part two. We're going to do a part two. I need to schedule it with those guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. But a question from that chat is kind of the leading topic for today. And part of it is sometimes I ask people questions and they give responses and then we move on to the next one. But the reason why I wanted to bring up the topic of how do you think the collecting space has evolved since you've been back in the hobby is because they're both Chris and Josh's answers were very different. But the fact that they were different and the tone that they took in answering that made me go back and be like, okay, this is something I need to dig into more. I will not do their responses justice. So go back and listen if you haven't already. But Chris, his response had to do with the oversupply of new products and cards that are coming out today and how that because there's so much new product coming out and there's so many parallels, it's nearly impossible to meet the demand of the collector's needs. And he used Luca as an example. And I think his point was well taken, where then you've got all of these new cards that are constantly coming out. So it's really challenging to try to figure out and decide what are the significant cards? What should we be focusing in on as collectors? And so then, you know, Chris got into the conversation talking about, well, a way to do that would just be, and maybe it's not as fun, but just look at rookie cards. And so I thought his response was interesting. Devolution, is that how you say it? The opposite of evolution? But this is what was Josh's response, which was kind of jarring, where he brought up this point, which I want to dig into further in an episode of Stacking Slabs, which was about the push from big business on the gambling front. And I think it's something that we think about a lot or see, but don't respond or react to. And it's undeniable that big hobby business is doing whatever they can to not only message, position, but communicate to that individual that's coming in to win big. And again, I say this a lot. There are a lot of different ways to enjoy the hobby. There's a lot of different flavors. But if you want something that's sustainable, you have to play to your base. And the base are the people listening to this damn podcast, the people that are here every day trying to build out their collections and they are the end user. End users are the play. And it's kind of scary at times where it doesn't feel like anyone's out there communicating and messaging to the end user, and that's a collector of sports cards. And this isn't a collector purist take or whatever. It's just the fact of life. It's how it goes. It's fine to lean into some breaks. It's fine to rip packs, but it just can't all be about that if you want this hobby to grow. There's a lot of churn in that. And are we accounting for the churn, or are we as a hobby just tracking metrics at the top? You got to measure the whole way through. I thought it was interesting that both their responses were not so great things that are happening. I think their critiques are valid. A push away from the mainstream, to me, is the biggest evolution that I've seen. I have seen a more concerted effort, and I'm seeing this every day by freaking you, people that are out there joining the Patreon group. I see this because people want to go to spaces where people are creating and communicating and servicing the flavor of the hobby that they enjoy. And so this is one of the big things that I've noticed is it's less about everything and it's more about getting niche down and focusing in on the type of content, the type of communication with other collectors, This is why group chats are a big deal. And I love that. I don't give a shit about 98% of what is being shared from a hobby mainstream perspective. I could care less. What I do care about is spending my time in the hobby with people and focusing on cards that matter to me. Everyone else is entitled to do your own damn thing and go do it and enjoy it. But for me, I only got so much time. So I want to be focused in and do it from a small group perspective. What happens in groups? You focus on the right things. We get more inspired. We find connection. I got to give him another shout. But my man, Brian Prism Mike PC, wrote a freaking incredible article in the group about 1997 embossed refractors. And the reason why this was so good is because it cleared up so many questions so many collectors had about these cards. I asked this question, and I want to read some of the responses. How do you think the collecting space has evolved since you've been back in the hobby? Give you some responses here. Shout out Jason Contrarian Cards. He says, I think the individual collector, hobbyist, seller has become generally more skilled and patient, less FOMO across the board. Hobbyists have become more individualistic, collecting more unique cards across various areas, subjects, and categories. Less excitement overall at the collective level. We were in widespread collectibles bubble, and then it seems as a society we transitioned into an experience bubble with all the Taylor Swift concerts, pinup travel demand, etc., pulling so much of that juice out of the collectible space. During the pandemic era, Discords were popping, YouTube lives were filled, everybody was stoked on everything. It was a fever dream. I think the individuals that have stuck around are in for an extended period of what can feel like boredom, perhaps, but I don't think that is a bad thing. These sorts of lulls feel like time to really solidify whatever it is you're trying to do, getting the cards you want, working on your business, social platform, etc. This is a vibes-based assessment. I know if you break down sales data and such, it would paint a different picture, but I do think the vibes are important too. The vibes are everything. Great freaking response. Here's James, the guest on the Collector Conversation this Friday. The run-up in prices during the pandemic and subsequent correction forced people to rethink their spending and collecting habits. It has brought greater exploration of different hobby lanes and approaches to build and curate collections. More available data allows people to make more informed and confident decisions when they are deciding how to spend their money and what brings them the most joy. However, at the same time, there's been a continued growth in the segment of the hobby that likes to gamble through ripping wax, breaking the mirrors, and the changes in gambling laws throughout many states. So he touches on the gambling component. Luke, I have been collecting since 1980, and the biggest change for the negative is not a surprise. The more values that comes, the more scams that come. This is from the production companies themselves and the individuals or groups that try to pull one over. There has always been scamming, but now it's wild and hard to keep up with. Drake, closing us out. When I was younger, I really only collected rookie cards of players. Fifth year cards or first didn't really matter to me. Since returning, that's been a huge shift to non-rookie insert sets and parallels among collectors. I actually noticed myself doing that at times where I focus solely on Peyton, rookies of Peyton, for example, but then pivot to non-rookie stuff. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's gotten a story. So much has changed. I find it interesting that most of the responses aren't generally positive. It's okay. We can get there. Stuff changes, but I think it's important to communicate how we're feeling about the space in the moment. I wrote about this, and this is how I want to close out this freaking show. I wrote about it in the Weekly Rip. It's free. Show notes. Go sign up. Newsletter comes out every Sunday. But I'm telling you what, I think I know the types of individuals on the other side of listening to this, and I'm sure you've experienced this. Busy people, professional parents, it is becoming harder and harder for us to prioritize or find the time to bid on cards. Now, that might sound crazy, but it's true. And it happened to me this week. I had an auction for Tyrese Halliburton 2023 Gold Prism ending at 5 o'clock on a weekday. I was picking up my girls. I was like, shit, I got to get home, man. got them, try to be safe as possible driving. I'm kind of at the stops looking down at my phone. We get home, 3 minutes left, pull in the garage. I'm like, I got a bid on this car. I'm a sniper, okay? I'm a sniper. That's what I am, self-identified. Get the pumpkin seat out, get my toddler, got all the bags, get in the house. My toddler, Jolene, she wants food right away. It's her MO. She's like her dad. I put Ruby down. I look at Jolene and I'm just like, hey, if you let daddy do an important thing on his phone for a second, I'll get you your dinner and I'll get you a special treat. Special treat's great positioning. It's something I've been using. It's not just a treat. It's a special treat. So look down. She says, okay. Look down. Ruby's laughing. I'm like, I'm in a good place. 1 minute to go. I put in my chubby bid, won the damn card, celebrated. I just will never forget that moment. And I could have forgotten it if I didn't look down at my phone mid-workday. Well, then what happened on the other side? There was another card that went up for auction, and it was past my bedtime. I did the cardinal sin. I took the phone to my bed, and what happened? I passed out, woke up at 2:30 in the morning, and just almost cried myself back to sleep when I saw what the card went for and that I'd lost it. It's getting harder to bid on cards, man. We're old. It's hard. We've got too much stuff going on. I need a calendar. Who's got a good game plan? Who doesn't ever miss a bid? If you got a system, let me know. My name's Brett McGrath. I collect sports cards, have a podcast about collecting sports cards, have a group about collecting sports cards. If you want to sign up and support this damn platform, go sign up. Shout out to my sponsors. Shout out to Card Ladder. Shout out to Port City Sports Collectibles. Shout out to my man Nick at The Worst Sports Cards. Auction Talk on the other side of this. We will be back. We're always running it. More stacking slabs. Talk to you soon.